Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 68 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Chaz Jenkins.
He tried to make a turn on another highway and lost control. He went over the embankment. The motorcycle did.
A Lewis County man is under arrest after leading police on a high-speed chase.
The name of a man killed after attacking police in Bath County has been released.
Governor Matt Bevin will answer questions about the state's retirement system on Facebook Live tonight.
Soldiers in the Kentucky National Guard are headed to Texas to help with hurricane relief.
A company out of Michigan is contracting with Rowan County to buy dead cats.
In sports, it's game week for the Moorhead State University football team.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Thunderstorms early tonight with lows around 60 degrees. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
Lewis County man faces charges of wanton endangerment of a police officer and fleeing police after reportedly leading authorities on a high-speed chase that ran from Moorhead into Flemingsburg. 19-year-old Austin Egbert of Garrison is in the Rowan County Detention Center as a result of the Saturday afternoon incident that began when a Moorhead State police officer tried to pull him over on Main Street. MSU Police Chief Merle Harrison says the incident ended with Egbert wrecked his motorcycle on Kentucky 1013 in Fleming County, noting that the chase hit speeds of up to 120 miles an hour.
He tried to go real fast. You know, some of those motorcycles will go 150, 160 miles an hour sometimes, and it's nearly impossible for a police vehicle to keep up with them. But I think he tried to go extremely high speeds, but when he, I guess, realized that he would probably wreck going that fast, I think he backed off a little bit.
Egbert suffered non-life-threatening injuries during his accident. After being treated at St. Clair Regional Medical Center, he was lodged in the Rowan County Jail. According to Harrison, Caudill initially tried to pull Egbert over because his motorcycle matched the description of one that had eluded authorities earlier in the day.
Police in Moorhead believe a string of thefts downtown will continue to happen until the suspects are caught. Three firearms, cash, and several small items were taken from vehicles on Knapp Avenue over the weekend. Moorhead Police Department Detective Matt Sally says patrols in the residential neighborhoods were increased on Saturday and Sunday night.
I wanted them in all our neighborhoods all night long, and if they weren't actively on calls or investigations, that they needed to be in these neighborhoods and increase our diligence. If somebody did want to come up here and try that again over the weekend to deter that, and we did not have any more after Saturday.
Moorhead police believe the suspect or suspects are traveling on foot. Anyone with information about the thefts should call 784-7511.
Authorities have released the name of a man who was killed after attacking a police officer in Bath County. 34-year-old Dwayne Martin was fatally wounded by a Kentucky State police officer on Sunday night. According to WSAZ, Kentucky State Police in Moorhead got a call of a suspicious man on Bethel Ridge Road near Sharpsburg around 10:30 p.m. Martin brandished a knife in an aggressive manner towards a trooper, which led to him being shot. Martin continued towards the trooper and stabbed him in the arm. A second trooper then shot Martin, fatally wounding him. Martin was pronounced dead at the scene by Bath County Coroner Robbie Powell. The trooper was treated and released from the University of Kentucky Medical Center. The incident remains under investigation by Kentucky State Police.
After a year of being labeled as a suspect, Lexington police have charged 36-year-old David Williams with burglary and assault in connection with a home invasion in August of 2016. When the event took place, the 80-year-old victim reported to the police that Williams had broken into her house demanding money. According to WKYT, police say when she denied his requests, he began assaulting her. Williams was identified as a suspect by police shortly after the crime was committed, but DNA only recently gave them enough evidence to charge him.
The Boyd County Detention Center remains empty as crews repair damage caused during a riot last weekend. WMKY's Ellen Barnett has more.
According to the Ashland Independent, the detention center's nearly 300 inmates were distributed to other jails around the region. 10 maximum security inmates were able to overtake guards and start a fire on August 18th. Some of the inmates say the incident was in response to a lack of water and electric for extended periods of time in the jail. Jailer Joe Burchett says there were temporary water shutoffs for repairs, but that they lasted only a couple of hours each. Burchett says the jail is short on staff because they've had a hard time keeping employees. In addition to the cost of repairs, jail officials are concerned their insurance rates may rise as a result of the damage. The Kentucky State Police are still investigating the riot. For WMKY News, I'm Ellen Barnett.
A Moorhead man was among three people arrested in Floyd County on drug charges. According to EKB-TV, police were performing a welfare check at a motel in Iville when they found several syringes and a crystal-like substance in the trio's room. 39-year-old John Moore of Moorhead, 40-year-old Jennifer Varney, and 38-year-old Michael Wells, both of Prestonburg, are facing charges of possession of a controlled substance and drug paraphernalia. All three are housed in the Floyd County Detention Center.
We should be paying more attention to the Afghan war than the Civil War. That's the opinion of Representative Thomas Massey. The Kentucky Republican was speaking to Spectrum News Pure Politics. He says President Trump's announcement that the Pentagon plans to send an additional 4,000 troops to Afghanistan is a step in the wrong direction.
One of the president's campaign promises was to put America first and to have us less involved with policing the world. So I was disappointed when he announced that we're going to expand our involvement in Afghanistan. It's been a boondoggle. We did chase down the terrorists who were operating there. But frankly, terrorists can operate anywhere in the world. And I think it's time to pull out of Afghanistan.
Massey adds that he's concerned that the current conflicts over Confederate statues are distracting people from more serious issues. Massey spoke at the Kentucky Farm Bureau Country Ham Breakfast last Thursday.
Kentucky's Republican governor says he will answer questions about the state's struggling retirement system on his Facebook page. According to WYMT, Governor Matt Bevin has asked state workers and teachers to submit questions on his official Facebook page about the state's retirement system. He says he will answer them beginning at 8 p.m. tonight via Facebook Live. Independent consultants say state officials need an extra $700 million a year to save its pension systems. Monday, those consultants are scheduled to tell lawmakers what they can do to generate that extra money. Bevin is expected to call a special session of the state legislature later this year to address the problem.
A Maysville company will provide shelter for thousands displaced by a Texas storm. WKYT reports that employees at Emergency Disaster Services in Maysville have spent the past 2 days packing trailers with clean linens, clean water, food, and fuel. Owner Jerry Lundgren says crews are already working in Corpus Christi, and more will be sent later this week.
As soon as the assessors can get in and assess the damage, then we'll start shipping equipment to Houston. It's a very rewarding business that we're in. Being able to help people that are in need is worth the cost.
Lundgren said he doesn't have an exact timeline, but he estimates by Wednesday more than 250 of his trailers will be on the way to Texas.
Soldiers in the Kentucky National Guard are headed to Texas to assist with the hurricane relief efforts. 123rd Special Tactics Squadron left Louisville on Sunday night. Director of Operations Aaron Zamora says their first mission is to rescue people.
Global access, which is opening up, landing zones, small airports, setting up helicopter landing zones for, other agencies to get in and pull people out.
18 soldiers made the trip to Fort Hood, Texas. The team has experience in relief missions and will also help with logistics and reopening airports.
An official expects the move-in process at the new Rowan Campus Center for Maysville Community and Technical College to start in mid-December. MCTC Chief Operating Officer Russ Ward says the structure is about 75% complete, and the process that's been made on it in recent months is noticeable.
You would basically see a nearly completed building on the outside. Of course, our parking lots haven't been paved yet. They'll wait until they get the big equipment out. If you went inside the building on the first floor, you would see a lot of detail work going on, painting frames, painting walls, moving in ceiling tile, all the things to kind of finish up the inside of the building.
The $28 million new MCTC Rowan Campus Center is being constructed just off Kentucky 801 at the MMRC Industrial Park. Once finished, the facility will become home to the new Center for Advanced Manufacturing.
Committees have been formed and meetings are planned to create a new strategic plan for Moorhead State University. The current plan sunsets next year, and university officials are hoping to create a new focus that aligns with the state plan. Assistant Vice President for Academic Affairs and Institutional Effectiveness, Jill Ratliff, says the new plan will also take into account the overall mission of Morehead State.
We have a kick-up meeting coming up on September the 8th. We'll be working through the fall semester with the idea of having a completed draft by December 1, sharing that for campus and community feedback and comment in early spring.
Ratliff says with performance-based funding in effect, MSU has to pay closer attention to the metrics that will determine state funding.
The 2017 annual Morehead State University Art and Design Faculty Exhibition will be hosted at the Claypool Young Art Gallery September 13th through October 11th. A reception will be held on September 13th from 5 to 7 p.m. with refreshments and live music by the Wood Sheep. The exposition showcases the work of faculty in the Department of Art and Design at MSU. Paintings, drawings, photography, and ceramics will be among the different types of media showcased during the exhibit. An art faculty forum will be held September 20th from 11 a.m. to noon. Exhibiting art instructors will take questions and offer discussion at that time. The gallery will be free and open to the public Mondays and Fridays from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m.
Robertson County has introduced a needle exchange program for local IV drug users. WMKY's Logan Pemberton has more.
According to the Ledger Independent, the exchange program will operate on Thursdays and will follow the same policies as the Mason County Health Department's program. Buffalo Trace Health District Executive Director Allison Adams says that the first visit will assess the need of the client, and each subsequent visit will be a one-for-one exchange. The goal behind the service is to prevent the spread of blood diseases like hepatitis C and B and HIV. A 2016 study shows that Robertson and Lewis counties are some of the most vulnerable to outbreaks among those who inject drugs. Although there were no clients last week, Adams says the service will be available as needed. For WMKY News, this is Logan Pemberton.
A company out of Michigan is contracting with Rowan County to buy dead cats. According to Judge Executive Walter Blevins, Great Lakes Biological will be putting a freezer in the county's Animal Control Center and will buy the dead cats for $5 each. The company plans to resell them to schools that train veterinarians and do animal research.
I guess mainly for teaching them anatomy of the animals they're working on. When I was in dental school, I had to go through a couple of semesters of gross anatomy, had to work on human cadavers. And the best way to learn is actually doing that. And the same thing with somebody that's going to be a veterinarian. It's better to learn maybe on the actual animal that you're going to be working on.
Blevin says the cats that will go to the company will largely be feral ones. He thinks the proceeds from the sale of the dead cats could end up going to the local cat rescue organization, Cats Meow.
An outbreak of salmonella associated with backyard chicken flocks has hit the United States. Greg Stottlemyer has the story.
The CDC is investigating 10 separate poultry-related salmonella outbreaks that have affected people across the country, including 39 cases in Kentucky, the seventh highest total among states. CDC Public Health Veterinarian Dr. Megan Nichols says the agency isn't discouraging backyard agriculture or the benefits of learning to interact with animals, but preventing salmonella is a critical precaution.
And there's the simple things you can do to prevent it, which are really important. So whether you have poultry for food, eggs, or as a pet, you have to be sure to wash your hands.
Other tips for people raising chickens, ducks, or geese include making sure you change your shoes and clothes after cleaning their coops. And for those who keep them as pets, Nichols says birds shouldn't come into contact with people's faces. I'm Greg Stottlemyer reporting.
Taking a look at the weather tonight, thunderstorms during the evening will give way to cloudy skies after midnight, lows near 60 degrees, chance of rain at 90%. On Tuesday, partly to mostly cloudy, a stray shower or thunderstorm is possible, highs around 80 degrees. On Tuesday night, partly cloudy, a stray shower or thunderstorm is possible, low of 61 degrees. And on Wednesday, cloudy, a stray shower or thunderstorm is possible, highs near 80 degrees. Taking a look at the listening area's temperatures, Lexington 70 degrees, Flemingsburg 69 degrees, Ashland 66 degrees, Inez 68 degrees, Winchester 70 degrees, and in Morehead, it's 68 degrees.
On today's feature segment, the Appalachian region is falling behind in nearly every major health indicator. WMKY's Jacob Lindberg reports.
Last Thursday's report from the Foundation for a Healthy Kentucky shows some improvement in the 13-state region. But the 25 million people living in the mountains and foothills of Appalachia are struggling to keep up with the health gains of the rest of the nation. Dr. Tony Weaver, Assistant Dean for the University of Kentucky's Rural Physicians Leadership Program in Moorhead, says it will take more than increased spending to make a change.
The determinants of life expectancy are things like the income, the type of job you have, your educational level, your ability to exercise, and your diet. Those are basic things that are hurting us across the spectrum, both from the time we're well into some of these chronic illnesses. And if we could make changes there, I think we can actually impact this.
Appalachia lags behind in 33 out of 41 public health indicators, including 7 of the top 10 causes of death in the United States. Weaver says a lack of healthcare professionals is only partially to blame.
It is a part of it, certainly, but we would not solve the problem simply by creating more doctors who practice the way previous generations have practiced. That is, I don't think that Eastern Kentucky needs more antibiotics, more pills, and more surgery. I think they need a change in the way that people doctor.
Weaver believes the key to solving the problem boils down to adjusting lifestyles and mindsets.
The least educated and the least able to take care of themselves people are the ones who are pursuing these really bad lifestyle habits. And then that disables them early, and then we spend the money on the disability. So you're going to spend the money. The question is, do you get the benefits of it, or do you just simply do remediation the rest of their life?
He adds, the first step on the road to a more statistically healthy Appalachia may be education.
And it may not be that you can force education on people as a way of improving their life expectancy. But the first thing we got to do is try that and see, because it's very clear that more educated people live longer. And this is obviously one of our problems is then as a state where we allocate our money, if we take it out of education, then we, in effect, we just turn that money right back around and put it into excess health care costs and lost productivity. You can't win when you're doing that sort of thing.
The new study found Central Appalachia, comprised mostly of eastern Kentucky, leads the rest in deaths from heart disease, cancer, lung disease, diabetes, and other injuries. While Weaver would like to see more doctors and services in his neck of the woods, he contends that real progress will likely depend on the support of Appalachian educators. Reporting for WMKY News, I'm Jacob Lindberg.
It's 448 and 68 degrees here in Moorhead. I'm Leanne Akers here with Chaz Jenkins, and we're glad to have you with us on this soggy Monday afternoon. Braxton Howard has sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from the Innovation Launchpad at Moorhead State University. The Innovation Launchpad provides education collaboration and infrastructure for new or startup businesses with consulting services, financial planning, workstations, meeting, and conference rooms. Located at 149 East Main Street in Moorhead, the Innovation Launchpad seeks innovative visionaries who want to start or grow their company, facilitate partnerships, and create jobs. More information at moorheadstate.edu/innovation.
Good afternoon with WMKY Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. The Cincinnati Reds have today off as they get ready to open up a home set with the New York Mets on Tuesday. The Reds lost yesterday at Great American Ballpark to Pittsburgh 5-2. Rookie Tyler Mahle lost his first major league decision, giving up 3 runs on 4 hits in 5 innings. Manager Brian Price says he saw some nice things from the 22-year-old right-hander.
Yeah, I thought he was poised. I thought he commanded the fastball. I got underneath the ball a little bit, and the ball came up in the zone and started to miss some locations. Mac went out there, had a good meeting. But yeah, I like what I saw.
The Reds are now 55-76 for the year, giving them the National League's third-worst record. Moorhead State's baseball players are preparing for their upcoming fall practices. Coach Mike McGuire says the coaching staff right now can only have 2 hours a week of individual instruction with them, while they have another 6 hours a week set aside for conditioning and weightlifting.
Of course, the work habits that they need to have, most of them get in and hit on their own, get their work in on the off days as well. That's what it takes if you want to be a good program and you want to be a good player. And a lot of them have aspirations to play beyond Morehead State and play at the next level. And so, you know, there aren't a lot of time off.
The MSU baseball team's fall practices begin on September the 18th. After a few weeks of preseason practices, it's finally game week for the Morehead State football team, which opens up on Thursday at home against Kentucky Christian University. Head coach Rob Tenure says the Eagles are now in full-scale prep mode for their Game 1 opponent.
Looking forward to it. I think our guys are excited. They know that we got an opportunity to be a really good football team. You know, at this point, you go out and you work hard and you accomplish things you want to focus on. You know, game situations, sudden changes, any game-like situation that you can do in practice to help you prepare for your first game.
Kentucky Christian is already 0-1 this season after losing at home this past Saturday to Faulkner 63-8. The Kentucky football team is getting ready to open up at Southern Mississippi on Saturday. Special teams coordinator Dean Hood says if there's one area the Wildcats feel pretty good about right now, it's their kickoff return guys.
And with our kickoff return, you know, we really got three returners back there at once. So, you know, King has been our, you know, main returner back there. He looks really good, but everybody else has been getting reps at that left and right returner and doing well, too. So, I mean, we got a multiple group of guys there that could get in there and take a kickoff back, you know, and a punt back.
King is junior running back Saheem King, who returned 10 kicks last year for 213 yards. The Round County football team moved to 1-1 on the season with a 30-20 loss at Bath County on Friday. Head coach Kelly Ford, though, says despite the outcome, he was still pleased with his guys, putting themselves in a position to win the game late in the fourth quarter.
We came out a little flat. They punched us in the mouth early on, and we had to re-get our composure and come back and battle back. And you know, I give my kids, they did fight towards the end of the game. I mean, 22-20, and we got the ball back with 8 minutes to go in and at least go up a score. So we was in we had situations that we could have sealed that game.
Tabor Wright's two rushing touchdowns led the way for the Vikings on offense. Dawson Kegley's 19 tackles paced Round's defense. Round welcomes Mason County into Morehead on Friday. Mason is 1-1 on the year as well, coming off of an 18-14 loss to Fleming County. Five-star center Mitchell Robinson is back on the Western Kentucky University campus. Robinson, who was ranked as the ninth best player in the 2017 recruiting class, enrolled at WKU this summer before quitting the team and leaving campus last month. After taking visits to LSU and Kansas, Robinson has now decided to return to Bowling Green and play for the Hilltoppers, his high school coach told Scout.com. The 7-foot Robinson is projected to be a top 10 pick in next year's NBA draft. In the NBA, the blockbuster trade between Cleveland and Boston that sent Kyrie Irving to Boston and Isaiah Thomas to Cleveland may not be approved. After evaluating Thomas's injured hip in a physical, Cleveland is now asking for more players or draft picks from Boston. If the two sides cannot agree to a new deal by Wednesday, the original trade will be vetoed by the NBA. Also, former Kentucky big man Nerlens Noel has agreed to stay in Dallas, signing a 1-year deal worth a little over $4 million. And New Orleans Pelicans forward Solomon Hill underwent surgery to repair a torn left hamstring and will miss 6 to 8 months, the team announced yesterday. Finally, in sports, both Round County soccer teams return to the pitch tomorrow evening. The 3-0 Lady Vikings will make up a game at Menifee County. Coach Alan Evans says the big concern with playing the Lady Cats in Frenchburg is their small field.
They pack it in, usually have about 9 girls behind the ball. And so one objective is to stretch them, and so we can run the ball back to our sweeper and even to our goalie and let them chase a little bit. And so when they chase, they create holes and then try to exploit those holes. But you just got to remain patient and remember, you know, if you get the 1 or 2 goals, it usually opens up after that. And so you just got to have really good patience and discipline on the ball.
As for the Round boys, they return home tomorrow to face Clark County. They'll be coming off of Saturday's 4-1 loss to Pendleton County. I'm Braxton Howard for WMKY Sports.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Volleyball welcomes Marshall tomorrow at 6 o'clock p.m., and football opens their schedule on Thursday, hosting Kentucky Christian at 6 o'clock p.m. Tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386, or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Markets traded mixed as investors get set to wrap up August. And, of course, the focus today was on Harvey, which, of course, is the hurricane that was downgraded to a tropical storm. It continued to ravage Houston and other parts of Texas, with more than 30 inches of rain falling in some parts in just 48 hours. And, of course, investors will be looking for the ultimate economic cost of this storm. And at the close of the Dow, industrials did finish with a modest loss of 5.27 at 21,808.4. The S&P 500 was up 1.19 at 2444.24, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 17.37 at 6283.02. New York Stock Exchange breadth was 15 to 13 in favor of losing stocks over winners. Because of concerns over the refiners in the Houston area, Rebob gasoline futures for December or September delivery jumped as much as 6.8% before settling at $1.71 per gallon. Also entering today, the Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ were all down for the month as investors grapple with lingering concerns about the Trump administration's ability to move forward with tax reform. And reflecting the political uncertainty, the U.S. dollar was down 0.5%, while the 10-year U.S. Treasury bond was up in price, with the yield on it dropping to 2.16%. In the commodities markets, oil was down 2.4% at $46.71 a barrel, and gold was up 1.5% at $1,316.80 an ounce. In Europe, the Stock 600 index was down 0.5%. In the Far East, markets were mixed, with the Shanghai index up almost 1% and South Korea's KOSPI index down 0.3%. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were Home Depot and Apple. The worst performers were Travelers and Goldman Sachs. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Newmont Mining and United Rentals, while the worst performers were Expedia and Chesapeake Energy. Trading out of stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global down 18 cents at 61.29, Valvoline up 4 cents at 21.42, CSX up 65 cents at 49.50, AEP up 53 cents at 74.10, AK Steel up 8 cents at 5.47, and Marathon Petroleum was up 82 cents to finish at 52.54. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Round County Farmers Market, a certified Kentucky Proud Market, open 11 a.m. Wednesdays and Saturdays near the Moorhead City Park. The Round County Farmers Market features homegrown fruits and vegetables and assorted canned and baked goods. Farmers Market Nutrition Program, WIC, and senior checks accepted. For more information, call 784-5457. Supporting local farmers, the Round County Farmers Market is Kentucky Proud.
Taking a look at some events in your region, there will be a closing reception from 5 to 7 p.m. on Wednesday, August 30th for Stitch, contemporary textile art from Kentucky and surrounding states. The reception will be held at the Claypool Young Art Gallery at Moorhead State University. The event is free and open to the public. Eastern Kentucky Table Tennis will meet at 6:30 p.m. on Thursday, September 7th at the Morgan County Community Center in West Liberty. Anyone interested and all skill levels are invited to participate.
Taking a look again at the weather tonight, thunderstorms during the evening will give way to cloudy skies after midnight, lows near 60 degrees, chance of rain at 90%. On Tuesday, partly to mostly cloudy, a stray shower or thunderstorm is possible, high around 80 degrees. Tuesday night, partly cloudy, a stray shower or thunderstorm is possible, low of 61 degrees. On Wednesday, cloudy, a stray shower or thunderstorm is possible, highs near 80 degrees. Wednesday night, mainly cloudy, a stray shower or thunderstorm is possible, lows near 64 degrees. On Thursday, mainly cloudy, high of 79 degrees. Thursday night, mainly cloudy, low of 61 degrees. On Friday, considerable cloudiness, occasional rain showers in the afternoon, thunder possible, highs of 76, chance of rain at 40%. And Friday night, showers early, becoming a steady rain late, thunder possible, low of 61 degrees, chance of rain at 80%.
That's it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Mraz, Ellen Barnett, Sean Delaney, Braxton Howard, and Logan Pemberton. Kentucky News Connections, Greg Stottlemyer, and Kentucky News Network's Paul Miles. Our feature segment came from WMKY's own Jacob Lindberg. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202BH in Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at wmky.org. For Chaz Jenkins and all of the MSPR news team, I'm Leanna Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.